Okay, we've got a couple hours now of open lines, not a special hotline topic tonight. Free-flowing open lines, you're next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We're going to post a picture for you this week of our buddy Ian Punnett, who is at Art Bell's R&R Award. And you are going to enjoy it because I think Ian looks just like someone. And I'm not going to tell you who. Now, Tom thought I was nuts until he picked the picture of Ian, and he found a picture of the person that I said Ian looked like, and he put them up side by side. So, Lex, you're going to have an assignment in the next day or so, and you'll put them up, and it will be incredible. I kid you not. Ian will have some fun. He already knows something like this is coming because I kind of hinted that to him when I saw him Saturday. Let's go to the phones. We've got wild card lines open. We've got the first-time caller line ready to go for you soon. We've got open lines for you for 2 hours tonight. Let's go to our wild card line. You're up with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Damien.
Hi, Damien. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. I'm calling from Minneapolis tonight.
Yeah, what's up?
I'm a big fan of the show. I listen about 4 or 5 nights a week, and I just wanted to call to say tonight I was really disappointed with the guest.
How come?
Well, I think that it was billed as sort of a specialist in the Middle East, and he could inform us about Iran and the future of that whole situation, which I'm worried about. And I love the depths that your guests usually have, but it seemed like the only thing that he had to say to us was convert to Jesus Christ,
well,
and that was it.
He was a specialist on the Middle East, but he was one-sided, and that's the thing you have to understand.
Did you do a lot of research into what he was going to say? It seemed like people wanted to know about different points about the Middle East. And on one caller, he said that he didn't really know about that. He just knew that everybody should love Jesus, and that was it.
No. He elaborated much more than that in the first hour. I don't know if you heard him or not. But he was one-sided. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. How you doing, George?
I'm doing fine. Thanks.
My name's Ken. I'm calling you from northern Pennsylvania. I'm on my way to New York City for a business meeting tomorrow.
Well, I hope it goes successfully for you.
Well, I hope so, too. It's kind of an important setup for us and my partner. About 20 years ago, actually, I believe it was in November of 1985, my family and I were living in Florida, in the Tampa Bay area, actually St. Petersburg, on an island called Snell Isle. It extends out into the bay, kind of a nice upscale community. And it was, and we didn't realize it when we leased the home. We were having a home built. It was the former home of Ed White, one of the astronauts that burned up in the Mercury disaster.
In the Apollo 1 disaster, yes.
Whatever. I didn't have all the details. But at any rate, we had a son, or we still have a son, but he was an infant at the time. He was born in April of 85, and we had him in a crib, and there were some incidents that happened that were really kind of strange. One morning, one of my daughters was standing next to the bassinet while my wife was in our bathroom rinsing out a dirty diaper, and my daughter said she heard my wife say, "Okay, Andrea, you can move away from the bassinet now." When she did, my son rolled off and fell on the floor. She swears to this day that she heard somebody tell her to move away, and obviously my wife would never have done that. So anyway, moving forward, we're a little bit suspicious about the incident, but moving forward, one night we woke up in the middle of the night. We had our son's crib in our master bedroom. And I looked over, and there he was standing in the crib, and the side of the crib had been put down. And so, you know, I didn't think too much of it. I just thought maybe there was a mistake made before we went to bed.
Right.
So I straightened it up, and the next morning, the side of the crib was down again. He wasn't standing up. So I began to worry a little bit, and I checked out the mechanism, found out it was okay. It happened again the next night. So I went out in the garage and found a couple of those elastic bungee cords and wrapped it around the bottom rail of the crib and the actual support for the mattress. The next morning when we woke up, both the bungee cords were laying on the floor.
Oh, my.
This is true. And the side of the crib was down again. I never believed in ghosts in my life. I'm still not sure what the heck was going on. So I turned the crib around and put the side that went up and down against the wall, and it occurred again. So then I went and I bought some drywall screws and screwed the side of the crib into the headboard and the footboard. They were like 3-inch drywall screws.
So there's no way it could move.
Exactly. So, and again, turned it against the wall. So one evening we're watching television. We heard this noise. The bedroom was it was an old style Florida house that had terrazzo floors. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's like a stone and concrete floor that they smooth right off. Well, anyway, we could hear a squeak, 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 squeak. We went in. The crib had been moved away from the wall about a foot on one end, and one of the screws had been taken out. And I'm telling you, we moved out of that house that weekend. And we moved into a motel and lived in the motel for 2 weeks before our house was ready for it.
God, I don't blame you. I mean, that is pretty darn weird.
Yeah, and I'm being completely honest and totally serious about this. I have no idea what it was, and I don't know. One of the people in the neighborhood, she was an old tennis pro. She said that her Mr. White, the astronaut's father, had died in the house. So I've got no idea what was going on, whether it was visited by the father again or by the astronaut himself.
And really, just the crib. That was the major episode?
That was the major episode, plus the fact that my daughter, who was 16 at the time, thought she heard my wife tell her to move away from the crib and move away from the bassinet when my son was being changed, and he rolled off the bassinet and fell onto the floor.
Oh.
He wasn't injured seriously. He came down on his stomach.
That's enough to scare the heck out of you, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And fortunately, our son's a senior in college, and he's in China right now studying over there. So everything turned out okay. But I have to tell you, it was the most scary experience we've ever gone through.
Well, the bungee cord and the screw coming out of the crib, those are the strange things. I mean, a little guy, even if he's rocking a crib, and those of us who have had kids, you know what that's like. That just doesn't happen. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello. I'm looking at the photos online of you guys at Saturday's event.
There we all are.
At reception of the, or receiving of the Lifetime Achievement Award. You're so cute. And I'll tell you, you know, things like this happen to me frequently, but it's happened again. I was just going to call and lighten the mood after your guest this evening.
Uh-huh.
And kind of give something to everybody if I could, and that was to tell them to go online and look at these photos. But now, you see, upon second and third examination, I'm seeing orbs in the photos.
I know. I got some calls yesterday. They're there.
Good. Okay. Yeah, a bunch around you in photo number one. You know, and then there's one, is Art holding a briefcase, an attaché case, or is that his, maybe the award?
I think that's the award he was
holding.
That is
the award, okay. Well, right above it is like something, but I don't know what it is.
I know it. There are little orbs around Art, too.
Yeah, now what the heck?
I know.
What the heck is that?
What do they mean?
I don't know. Where do they come from? They're more than dust, you know. I think I was not impressed until I saw the photos after September 11th. Taken by, I believe, a policeman, and there were hundreds of them.
Did you ever see the picture of the flames that look like a devil's face,
Yes, and you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because several times in the past when I've called, I wanted to mention something. I'll try to spell it. P-A-R-I-D-O-L-I-A. I believe it's pronounced pareidolia. And while I certainly am very familiar and at home with things being inexplicable, etc., I think there is this word pareidolia means the human need to see a face in something. And they say that perhaps this comes from, an infant at mother's breast is able to see the distance from the breast to the face. And that's one of the first things we look at, first things we connect with. Is a face, whether breastfed or bottle-fed, but there is a face, and it's close.
I wonder if Richard Hoagland has this, when he sees the face on Mars.
Yeah, I don't know. That's very funny. I don't know.
You know what? It's funny you say that, because when I was a kid, I would look at cloud patterns to see a face.
Right.
And sometimes, you know how some of these ceilings have the spattered look to it?
Right. I think that's called called gunite or something.
Whatever that is.
Yeah,
it's sprayed,
right.
And it's really thick.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, if I'm lying in bed looking up,
right.
I will see pictures and faces.
Right.
And it's weird.
And the same thing in knotty pine.
Yep.
And the same thing in rocks that you collect, and the same things in pieces of driftwood.
Or tile on a floor that might be shaped a certain way.
Absolutely, and it's one of those, it's kind of like if somebody won't see it, and you'll point it out to them, and then they cannot believe they couldn't see it. It's just so obvious.
I think it started for me when I started reading the Where's Waldo books.
Oh, really? Good point. Well, it sharpens everybody's perception, doesn't it?
It sure does.
And it makes you work harder with your eyes.
There was also, now think back for a moment. Do you remember going to the doctor's when you were a kid?
Yes.
There was a magazine that they had in the doctor's offices.
For me, that would have been Collier's. I'm kind of like older than you,
no,
George.
But... No, this was like a fun thing.
Right, okay.
Every doctor's office had this, and you had to find, you opened it up as a kid, and there was a drawing in there, and you had to find all the different things that they had in there. The parrot was in there, the beach ball.
So in other words, maybe this is before children who couldn't read the letter signs or the number signs.
Right.
So they would find the
You'd have to find the shapes of that in there. And I used to do that all the time.
Wow.
Okay, thanks.
Well, you're welcome. Good night.
Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You are on. Hi there.
Hello, Mr. Norrie.
Hi.
How are you doing, sir?
Good.
Well, good. I'm out here actually. I have my pickup truck in the gorgeous Arizona weather at this late hour. It's still nice and warm. But I wanted to call, first of all, George. I used to be in radio myself. And,
you have that voice. You know that.
Well, thank you. But as you know, the voice, I mean, well, you have a great voice yourself, but your style just astounds me. I think it's the best style I've ever heard in radio.
Oh, really?
I really do, because you deal with people in such a genuine, you can tell your heart is in the right place, and you deal with people in a very genuine, honorable way. You never condescend anybody.
I try not to. Sometimes it's tough.
Sometimes
you bite your lip, but... You know, basically, I think everybody has a right to talk and speak as long as they're being, non-profane about it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Mr. Norrie, it is 2 hours of talk. Hopefully, I'd like to ask you about, that brings up an interesting thing. How do you deal with working late night and the kind of calls you get and the kind of things you're involved with, does that affect your day when you're up? And
my day is always based on this program, especially when I'm in Los Angeles. It's a little different when I'm in St. Louis, but when I'm in L.A., it's 24/7 this program, whether it's meetings during the day, or early prep time. I'll generally get into the office at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and just keep working right through with a little dinner break. That's just the way I've been here, and I love it. I love every day of it. So appreciate it. It's, you know what? It's a job I enjoy. It's a job I love, and you make it easier. I love talking to people on the phone like this. So let us move on with East of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, morning, George. How are you?
Hi, fine. Thanks.
Good. Well, I wanted to, I've been thinking for years, even when Art was on, when these ghost stories come through, and I just would love to tell you my 2 cents on it, if I could.
Sure.
As a small boy, my father was a mortician, and we lived in the mortuary, four brothers and 2 sisters, and downstairs were the prep room, the casket rooms and whatnot, and right upstairs were our rooms. And in fact, this house we lived in was somewhere probably turn of the century of a hospital that we had renovated and turned it into a mortuary. And all those years growing up, you know, and I'd have to go in there and help my dad, the older I got it, go in there and give him a hand more and more and more. And I got it more interested into it. And rather than go down his path, I went down the other path. And so I work as a paramedic. That way they're, you know, some more alive before he gets a hold of them. And in 20-some years, even talking to him, I'd like him to write a book on some of his, but I've never, ever, ever seen anything in my life. Ghosts, orbs, anything. And I am a believer. You know, I have seen some strange things in space. In fact, I sent you a photo, real interesting story about the Aurora Project. This was years ago. Nice, pretty clear shot of an aurora going through it. It was, I talked to Ian about it. That was a while ago. But anyhow, I mean, just think, you know, I remember as a kid, or not even a kid, 10 years ago, getting down there in the grave and digging these graves by hand, you know, because, you know, there was rocks in the bottom of the grave. You know, on either side of me is caskets.
Oh,
you know?
Old ones?
Old ones. Oh, yeah, old ones. You bet. You bet. So, you know, or you'd have to dig up the one because maybe the husband died before the wife, and in their wishes, the man was supposed to be on the bottom, and the wife was supposed to be on top, Barry, you know, casket-wise. We'd have to go down there. Yeah, and just things like this, you know.
And did you ever think a hand was going to come out and pull you in?
Oh, I tell you, my mind, I learned to be very mentally tough because it just, I mean, it could have just ripped you up, you know. You watch a scary movie or something, and the next thing you know, you're thinking it's happening to you.
Did you ever have to work there at night, late?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Those are the times I wouldn't want to be in there.
You know, and it was even worse was it was an old building he was in, and when he walked through the door, so if we had to pick up a body removal in the middle of the night, the door that you'd go through, the light switch was on the other end of the room. So you had to push through the casket area and get back to the embalming tables and stuff like that before you could find the light. So it was pitch black in there. Just give me the heebie-jeebies because, you know, I'm pushing this body through, 16 years old. And
Did any bodies ever sit up or move and twitch?
Twitch, my dad. This one still bothers him now. When he was a younger man in Minnesota, let's say 30, 40 years ago, and the technology wasn't that good. And what you do is you go through the femoral artery. That's where you're going to do your incision.
Yeah.
And when he pulled the femoral artery, he swears it was still pulsating.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, needless to say, he called the ER doc down there to, you know, reaffirm that, yes, this man is dead. But there might have been a chance there where he was actually still alive.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he wasn't dead then, he sure was later on. No doubt about that. Hey, thanks. Appreciate you being on the program. We're going to continue with a couple hours of open lines here. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Tomorrow, our very special guest on the program will be none other than William Warwick. And no, it's going to be Jeffrey Simmons. I'm off. I think today's, because I did yesterday for Art, I think today is Tuesday. It's only Monday. So our Tuesday guest will be Jeffrey Simmons. And he's going to be talking about some incredible things that have to do with Darwin's theory of evolution. And stick around for that. But I'll be back in a moment. We'll continue with Open Lines. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Yes, I knew I could count on you. That magazine when I was a kid that was in a doctor's office where you just tried to find these little pictures and drawings that were all over the place. It was called Highlights Magazine. Now you remember that, right? Okay. We're back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're going to have open lines for you. Let's go west of the Rockies. Your turn. Hi there.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
This is Jackie from Phoenix.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to know, I know that, I don't know if it was on your show or Art's show, somebody had Red Elk.
I had Red Elk on just a few weeks ago.
Okay, yes, and he was talking about the Cree people and how nice they were and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to know if him or anybody else out there knows about the thousands of Cree children that were kidnapped and adopted out into the U.S. and across Canada.
I don't know.
And I really think that this is a story that, you know, needs to be brought to the public's eye.
Who kidnapped them?
The government. We were kidnapped as small children.
You were one of them?
Yes, I was.
Tell me what happened to you.
When I was 5 months old, I was very sick. My mom brought me to the hospital. The doctor said, you must wait 2 weeks before she can leave. She came back in 2 weeks to get me, and they said, oh, she's gone. They adopted me out to a agency here in the United States. I won't say the agency's name, but I was adopted out into a primarily white family. My name was changed legally. All the information about my mom, about my family, about everything was kept from me by my adoptive parents. Whether they were told by the agency to do that or not, I don't know.
All right, how do you know this happened to you?
Because I found my mom about 7 years ago off of the internet, and I talked to...
My first question is, how do you know who you were as a kid?
Because I grew up knowing I was adopted.
I mean, did your parents, your adopted parents, did they tell you that?
Yeah, they told me that I was adopted.
Okay.
But they had no information.
All right. So,
supposedly.
So how did you get the information?
I went into their files, and I found a letter to the adoption agency saying, we adopted a little Cree Indian girl from Canada on this date, and this is her birth name. We need it changed on the birth certificate.
Okay.
And through that, I went ahead and changed my name back to my birth name. In the process of that, was basically kicked out of the adopted family I was in.
How old were you when they kicked you out?
I was 18.
18, all right.
I was told by my adopted dad the day I had legally changed my name, he asked if I had done it. I said, yes, I did. I felt very proud that I had done that.
Sure.
And he said, then you can find another place to live. You're no longer part of this family.
And that was it. Gone.
And that was it. I was out.
Then how did you find your natural mother?
I went on the internet. My husband's mom said, wouldn't it be great if you could find a relative? I said, well, I'm not going to find my mom because she's dead. She was an alcoholic, I was told. Come to find out, that was a lie. My cousin contacted them. I called my mom, and about a month later, the tribe had arranged for me and my husband to go up and meet my mom and spend 5 days with her.
My God. And your mother admitted that you were stolen out of the hospital?
Yes.
How do we know the doctor didn't just sell you for profit on his own?
That's something that we don't know, but because the Cree Indians did not have social services,
right,
of their own on the tribal land, the Canadian government would come in. My two older brothers were with my grandma. The social services came in, said that they had been abused, mistreated, and so they took them.
This could have been some kind of group that was doing this too, you know.
There was thousands of children that my uncle had my cousins taken from them when he was in Winnipeg.
Is this still going on?
No, it's not. The problem that we're having now is a lot of the children, they are finding out the names have been changed. There is no way to get information out about this, and the children that they do find, a lot of them have no interest in going back into the tribe because they've been lied to. I was told my mother was an alcoholic, that my father was white, and that's why I was taken away.
Over what period of time was this occurring?
This was between the 60s all the way up until the early 80s.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, I handed my cousin all the paperwork that I had on myself, which I had taken from my adoptive parents.
Has this been investigated at all?
No, it hasn't. I can't find anybody who is investigating this. I can't find any answers. The only way we knew about it was I went and typed in my last name into my mother's last name into the computer on a...
Would you do me a favor?
Pages.
Would you send me at george@coasttocoastam.com a pretty elaborate email and a contact number for you?
Can I leave the contact number with your person who answers? Because
yeah,
we don't have
a computer. Okay. Why don't you start writing this down in letter form for me? Because it's going to take more than just a couple days. I want to start looking into this. But I'll put you on hold. Give Tom your phone number, and he'll give you our address. Send me a personal letter explaining a lot of things that you just did. That is a very strange story, and I do not doubt that that probably didn't happen to you. You sound like you're pretty convinced it did. Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
How you doing? My name is Mark from Richmond.
Hi.
I want to tell a story about an angel occurrence to a friend of mine.
Okay, sure.
It's very amazing. He came over here in the 1970s from Jamaica. He had heard a pastor of ours on the radio, and he came over here, and the pastor said he had been praying for a son, so he brought this young man over and took him into the church and pretty much raised him as a teenager. He put him through college to be a heat and air conditioning man, and as he got older, he told him, I want you to go down to South Carolina and pastor a church down there. So he went on down there, and about like seven years ago, he went to an old lady's home that was in the church and wanted to do some work on her home, heat and air conditioning. But somehow, a transformer exploded and it electrocuted him. And all these volts went through his body.
Oh,
it came through his chest, went out of his arm and his hand. And he went to the hospital. The nurse passed out because of the sight of his hand and everything.
Oh, yeah, he was like cooked, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in bad shape. His whole it fried his hands and fingers together like he was born that way.
Ugh.
And he told the lady, it's nothing you can do for me that's going to, no medicine can do anything. I've went through all the pain a man can go through.
It's like he melted.
Yeah, so he said, so for 9 days and 9 nights, he laid in his bed with pain. The current was still in his body because all of our friends went from all over the United States came down to visit him. So one man said he went to touch his head, and his hand had to jerk his hand back because the current was coming up through his head. And so our pastor was in New York. Said one day he told a friend of his, he said, get my bags together. He said, I want to go down and see my son. Now, he didn't tell this other man this. He said, it was just a spur of the moment. He said, I got to go see him. He's in bad pain. So he said, he got on his knees and prayed and said, God told him, he said, you stay here. He said, I'll send my angel. He can do a better job than you can. So he stayed in New York. He didn't even confer with this man and let him know about what God told him. So anyway, this man was on his bed crying. He said, he told God, he said, how much more are you going to let me go through? How much more can I take? So he said he felt something coming in his room like death at the end of his bed, pulling at his feet. So he said he kicked, and he could see it, feel it fall out of his window. So he was laying there racked with pain. And he said around 3 or 4 in the morning, he turned on his side, and he said he had tears in his eyes because it's, for 9 days and 9 nights. So he said he felt something walk in his room. And he came to the side of his bed, and I reached up and grabbed his arm and hand that was all badly, misfigured here. And he picked his hand up, and he started rubbing the top of his hand. He said he had his head turned. He didn't want to look. So he said, rubbed his hand, lifted it up, and he took his fingers and started pulling them apart and laid his hand back down beside his side and walked away. So he realized it was gone. So he got up, looked in the closet, looked underneath the bed, ran in the bathroom and looked at his hand and stuck his hand up, and all his fingers was apart like they was before.
And he was fine.
Yes, he was fine. His son said, the next day his son said, Dad, who was that in your room last night? He said, what do you mean? He said, I heard something walk up the steps, and then I heard something walk back down the steps, and then it was gone. So he came to New York about 2 months later and showed us his hand, and it was just completely like someone just took his fingers and pulled them apart.
Like nothing had ever happened.
Like it never happened. You can see that the skin was all, disfigured and everything, but his fingers were all apart like it was before.
Well, those angels work in mysterious ways. Let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Where are you calling from?
Mill Creek, Washington.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, I wasn't expecting that last caller. I was calling in tonight about, I wanted to ask if people could hear from God, maybe not verbally, or maybe not see an angel like his story. Other ways that the God or creator, whoever you put us here, can we hear from them in other ways through dreams or...
Why do you ask that? Don't you have the answer?
I thought I saw that movie Conversations with God tonight.
Yeah, Neil Donald Walsh's.
Yeah. Yeah, and he could hear, and this man was talking about, you know, it sounds like an angel could see. But I was wondering, I just kind of wanted to talk about it, what you thought maybe if there was other ways, however we got here, whoever put us here, are they in communication with us still? Maybe through dreams or through, I mean, other people that don't hear, see angels or hear, you know, messages.
How do you think we got here? Some people think we got seeded by extraterrestrials. A little manipulation.
You know what? Every time I hear those stories, I feel kind of sad. But
why? Why do you feel sad?
Because I think that the aliens and us were probably from the same origin.
That's possible.
I personally don't feel we were cloned from them. But yeah. That's just my personal opinion. But what I wanted to know and talk about are whoever put us here, what if they were aliens? Whoever put us here, are they still in communication with us? Or are we just left here? Are there other ways besides seeing angels or like the movie I saw tonight? Are they, is there messages or guidance through dreams or through synchronicity? Or?
Well, you know by now that angels are still with us because we've had too many people who are eyewitnesses to miraculous events.
Right.
I mean, they come in by the hundreds all over the past few years that we've been doing this program. Truck drivers who are going over a cliff and a strange hand reaches over and pulls their wheel back onto the road and there was nobody else in the cab. How about the person who was drowning? Incredible story I heard years ago. He was gone. He was out in the ocean, just floating around. He didn't realize that he had gone out so far. And he was drowning. He was going down. All of a sudden, he saw a hand reach down into the water. He grabbed it, pulled him right up. He got to shore. There was nobody around him at all. How did these things happen? Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Good day. Good morning. You know, I've been trying to get through to you for years, and I finally did.
We
thank you.
Finally got it.
Actually, it was real interesting. It was a small little event that led me to get through. I never get text messages, and I play in a band, and one of my keyboard player just confirmed on a date on a text message, and I was thinking, what am I going to say back on him? And right when I was looking at the quick note, it said, thank you. You said the word thank you on the radio. Exactly at that, when my eyes went
boom.
Down, and because I never text. Anyway, here's why I'm calling.
Okay.
I've had a series. I've been actually into meditation forms and internal arts for, gosh, since I was about 9 years old. And I had a series of revelations, which has helped a lot of people. But one of the signposts on the way when I was about 20, I didn't really come into my own until I was 22 or 23. But when I was 20, I went down to Seal Beach, California. I don't know, have you ever been there?
No, sir.
Okay, there's a pier down on Main, at the end of Main Street, starts at the street, and on both sides of the pier, there's a parking lot on one to the north and the south side of the pier.
Okay.
And the pier, you know, goes out over the beach and the parking lot's in the water. There was an argument. Remember, this is the hippie days, early 70s. There was an argument between some guys and a cop in a black and white car down in the north side of the pier. And that started attracting a huge crowd of people. And pretty soon, people were yelling back at the cops, and they were starting to throw cans and bottles.
Oh,
and a bigger crowd started forming. So there was now about 200, and I'm talking fast because of time. There was about 200 people that came around. Now they were trying to dump the car. I was on the sand watching all this, and I happened to look up, and I saw at the head of the pier two cops beginning to walk slowly on the pier, and their hands were on their guns. At which point, I don't know what possessed me. But this has to do with that internal experience that I've given other people. But something said, you need to get up on the pier. And I just did it. I climbed up those struts, climbed over the railing, and I was watching this insane thing. And then something said, just say, and I screamed out there, brothers, this is what the establishment wants. Remember how we spoke back then?
Yeah.
Us and the establishment.
Yeah.
This is what they want. They don't want you to be worthy of anything good that can happen through peace. Well, one thing happened, a couple of things happened simultaneously. Everybody stopped for a split second. They looked at me, and I got really quiet. Now, I have to digress. An hour and a half earlier, when I arrived at the beach, I happened to pass a guy. And I did a double take, and I remember this specifically because when I did the double take, there was nothing specifically interesting about the guy. He looked like that guy in The Forgotten that just sort of always appeared in the background. You know, this guy, this alien. But
yeah.
There was just a very blank-faced guy. And I looked at him, and I go, why am I looking at this guy? And I just shook it off. Now back to the pier. So in that moment of silence, somebody yelled, get him, he's a narc. At which point, about 20 guys ran up the pier, started scaling that same strut that I climbed.
They're coming after you?
Coming after me. I, as God is my witness, all of a sudden there was like about 15 people coming up to the rail, and something said, I can go into a combat mode and start throwing them off if they attack me, and then something deeper said, no. You need to be very, very still. You need to be very, very quiet. You need to go within yourself and be very, very still. And just things will happen. And I was frightened. I was scared. I mean, honestly.
Of course, yeah.
So then what happened?
Coming after you?
As they rolled over the railing, as they started to reach me, they surrounded me, and a guy reached out to grab me by the arm. The moment he touched me, I'm not claiming anything here, but the moment he touched me, there was this crazy look of confusion, and he stepped away from me, and then someone else grabbed me, and the same thing happened to him. And the moment anyone touched me, it was as if something would just blank for a second. I began to walk toward the street on the pier with about 10 guys in a circle around me, and repeatedly somebody would try to grab me, and then they would fade back with a confusion. The next guy would try. We crossed the street with them still surrounding me, and there's an alleyway. And I thought, when I looked down the alleyway, I thought, I wonder what would happen if they grabbed me. The moment that thought hit my mind, they grabbed me, and they began dragging me into the alley to do whatever horrible things they wanted to do. I then heard a voice just out of the blue, and I heard a soft voice saying, but brothers, he was only trying to help you. I turned around, and there was that guy.
Did they leave you alone?
Oh, the story isn't over yet. It gets more involved.
I've got 20 seconds. Okay. I got to take my break.
They stopped.
Unless you want to hold.
Their air went still, and I just simply walked away. But then I came back, and when I came back, other things began happening until I actually got away from the beach. You know, it's too bad.
Who was that other guy?
I don't have a clue. He just was there, and everybody just looked at him, and as if they forgot that I was there, I simply walked away.
He had some kind of powers, no doubt about that. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.